Morning. Today's daf in Chulin is Pei. We're on the back end of Ayin Tes Amud Beis. We're starting today with the words Vahatnan. And the Gemara's discussion today is going to really revolve around two basic issues. One of them we already explored yesterday, and the second one is coming up in just a moment. And then after that, that'll cover half of today's daf. Some of it's going to get a little bit complicated, but only because there's so many variables to take into consideration. And then after that, the end of Pei Amud Aleph on the bottom of the Amud. So the Gemara turns its attention back to our Mishnah, and we're going to be discussing a more general topic of our Mishnah. But in the meantime, however, we're in the fifth parak of the Masechta. We're learning Osef Espeno, the Ist in the Torah, that one is not allowed to shecht an animal and its offspring on the same day. We already went through, this is the third day of the parak. The parak started back on Ayin Ches. The Mishnah went through all the scenarios in which one would be violating the Isser of Osev Espeno, and a number of variables which were considered in the Mishnah. Mishnah took us through 12 different scenarios. Later this morning, we're going to be chazering over some of those scenarios again. And in yesterday's daf, what we discussed was the question of paternity. How is paternity influenced this halacha of Osev Espeno? Is there an Isser in the Torah to shecht a father and its offspring on the same day? It's a really simple question. It's a basic question. And it's a machlokes hatanai. And there are three opinions. I know, that's amazing. But there are three opinions on the matter. One opinion on the matter, the opinion of Chananya, is choshishin lezera'av. Father's input. And now I know the language itself is a little deceiving. But choshishin literally means we're concerned. But according to the Chananya, the father's input is just as important, just as equal as the mother's input, halachically. And so therefore, according to Chananya, there would be an isser of Osov Espeno, to shecht, a father and its offspring on the same day. The Gemara yesterday got a little bit more complex because the Gemara dealt with a number of scenarios where you had a hybrid. Let's say you put together a horse and a donkey and you produced a mule. And yesterday we had the discussion and the debate. Does it matter if it's one mule and another mule that share the same exact pattern of mother, father, horse, donkey? Or does it matter if it gets flipped? And that was yesterday's discussion. It got a little bit complicated. But the basic idea is that according to Chananya, it is the same. Father and mother are the same relationship to their child, halachically, vis-a-vis the mitzvah, or the Isser of Osev Espeno. Then there's the opinion of the Chachamim. The Chachamim say that we do not take the father's input into account halachically. There is no relationship halachically between the father and its offspring from the perspective of the Isser of Osev Espeno. Osev Espeno is only the relationship of the mother and its offspring, the female animal and its offspring. And so therefore there is no Isser according to the Chachamim. And then there's a third opinion. And the third opinion, which we saw just a little bit yesterday, was the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda's of the opinion that we're somewhere in the middle. Somewhere in the middle meaning suffix. We don't know. And we don't know, so we have to take, obviously, if we're talking here about an Issa Daraisa, so we have to take both opinions into account. On one hand, we will entertain the idea that there is an Isser of Osev Espeno from the father to its offspring, but certainly you're not going to get Malkus for it because we don't know definitively that it's an Isser. Okay, and just the Malkus is just but one example of how we'd see Rav Yehuda play out in Halacha. We are now halfway down in the Amud Ayin Tes Amud Beis. We are picking it up right where we left off yesterday. The Mishnah over here is going to be and one other thing before we continue. There is another discussion which we just started yesterday, and we're going to see a lot more of today, and that is the question of Seva Afilo Mixaseh. Seva Afilo Mixaseh means as follows. We know that there's an Isser of Osev Espeno. The Torah introduces it with two animals, by listing two animals. Shor, Oseh. Osev Espeno lo sishchetu b'yom achad. So as we already pointed out yesterday, the Isser is for behemoths, it's not for chayas, the Isser of Osev Espeno. But the question that we dealt with yesterday, and we're going to be discussing a lot more now, is the question of, when the Torah says Seh, in order to be a violation of the Torah, does this animal, who we're going to be shechting, and its offspring on the same day, does it have to be 100% purebred Seh, or if it's a little bit of a cross, and it's got some Seh, it's got some other things in it, so would that also be considered a violation? What we learned yesterday is that so far we've seen only one opinion on this matter, and that is Seh ve'afilu mixaseh. The Torah does not require that the animal be 100% pure Seh. It'd be enough if 50% and presumably even less would be Seh, as long as there are some Seh in that animal, one would be violating the Torah. That is what we discussed yesterday, and we're going to continue discussing that today, and we're going to see that there's another side to that position, that seh has to be 100% pure, but we'll come back to that a little bit later on. We are now quoting a Mishnah in Beitzah. To understand this Mishnah in Beitzah, a couple of basic points. One, when we're allowed to shecht animals on Yantiv, it's one of the malachas that are permitted because of ochel nefesh. Two, every time you shecht a wild animal, chaya, so there's a mitzvah of kisui hadam. Three, dirt on Yantiv, generally speaking, unless it's prepared before Yantiv, dirt is considered muksa. And even if I'm taking the dirt and using it for the purposes of a mitzvah, specifically that of kisui hadam, unless it was prepared before Yantiv, you can't do it. More information. We're not done yet. The shechting of a animal on Yantiv. So if it's a behema, nothing to think about. If it's a chaya, so we have to take into consideration. Did we put aside dirt to do the mitzvah of kisui hadam? Because if we didn't, so then we're not going to be able to shecht. We're not going to be able to violate the isur of muksa. What if it's an animal where it exists somewhere between a chai and a behema, and notably the koi? The koi is an animal. We're going to be discussing the koi a lot in today's daf. It's somewhere between an animal, a behema, and a chaya. And is there a mitzvah of kisur adam under normal circumstances? So you'll say yes, sure. Because it may be a behema, maybe a chaya. On the chance that's a chaya, do the mitzvah of kisur adam. We're not going to make a bracha on it, say suffix, whether or not it requires kisur adam or not. But for sure, we're going to do the mitzvah of kisur adam. And now the Mishnah, now take everything we just said, all the information we just said, and you put it together now on a yantiv where I'm shechting a koi, which may or may not be a chaya. And so what the problem now becomes is that we don't know if we have to do the mitzvah of kisur adam. Taking the dirt on yantiv is an isur muksa, and so therefore the Mishnah discusses.
Dug it before Yantiv started.
Yeah. I said that before. I said that earlier. That would be good. That's the Mishnah, the first Mishnah. One of the first Mishnahs. Okay. V'hadanan, the Gemara quotes the Mishnah. Koi in shochet al sabi yamtav. So one is not allowed to shecht the koi in yamtav. V'im shecht lo emechasnas damo. Okay, so the Mishnah gives us two basic rules. Rule number one, don't do it. Don't shecht the koi in yamtav because we don't know if it requires the mitzvah of kisui adam. Number two, if you do shecht it, so then don't do the mitzvah of kisui adam because, once again, we don't know if it was required. Now, b'maya skinan. Now, we discuss koi. What is a koi? So, it's going to be a big part of today's discussion. There are a lot of options of what a koi could be. Right now, we're going to assume that a koi is a cross between an animal, a behema, and a chaya. That's what we're going to be assuming right now. That if you were able to mate, and right now, let's assume that you can, that you were able to mate a chaya and a behema, so what you're going to result is an offspring that is part chaya and part behema. And right now, we're just basically going to try to put together a different number of combinations in terms of what we're going to get. So, Elam b'taisha ba'at tzviya. So maybe it's a taisha and a tzviya. Taisha, of course, is the father. That's a goat. That's a behema. Mother's a tzviya. That's a deer. She's a chaya. And v'yalda, v'yalda. And now they give birth. So now, bein l'rabban and bein l'rav lazer lishcha v'lichse. And so over here, what is even the issue? If the mother is a deer, so that means that the mother's input into the offspring is clear. Now, what isn't clear is it 100% or is it 50% input in terms of the offspring? But what difference does it make? In other words, there is now chaya as part of this offspring. And so what do we say regarding the mitzvah of kisui adam? You cover the blood of a chaya. Does it have to be 100% purebred chaya? We're assuming right now the answer, of course, is no. Tzvi v'afil mitzvah tzvi. Just like we said in the end of yesterday's daf, sev v'afil mitzvah sev. Now remember, that was in halachas that relate to behemoths. We are now saying the same svara for chayas. Tzvi v'afil mitzvah tzvi. Which means now that even if it's not 100% pure chaya, as long as it's got some chaya in it, so one would be required to do the mitzvah of kisui adam. So that can't be the koi that we're describing right now. Ela b'tzvi abba al tayasha. V'yalda. So it must be that we're talking about the father's a deer and the mother is a behema, a goat. Ula rabba, sorry. Ila rabban lishcha v'lech say, now, if you're the chachamim, so we know what to do. So what we do is that we're going to shecht and we're going to do the mitzvah of kisui.
Because deer
Because we're going to be concerned about Zera Av. In other words, we're going to be concerned that the father's input is there. And Ila Rebbe Lazar Lishcha V'lo Lichzai. And if your Rebbe Lazar, as we noted on the top of the Amud, top of this very Amud, so Rebbe Lazar does not consider the father's input. So the Gemara says, so where exactly does the suffix lie? Because right now, we put together a number of combinations and there was no suffix. We know what everybody would say under those circumstances. So the Gemara says, now we're talking about a Tzvi having mated with a Tayasha. Father is a Chaya, mother is a Behema, and Rabban and Sifuki Mesafke Lui Choshen Lazarav Oein Choshen. And the Chacham's position is exactly, they don't know. They don't know whether or not the father's input is registered or not registered. And as a result of that, we don't know if the offspring does or does not require the mitzvah of Kisui Adam. So the Gemara says, interesting. So now in this mission that we just learned together, so we are contrasting the opinion of the Chachamim, who we have just determined is in a state of suffix. And on the other side of that Mishnah, you have the Shita of Rebbe Lazar. Now, so it comes down now that if you're telling me that the Chachamim are in a state of suffix, so what is Rebbe Lazar's position? Definitively, he knows that the father's input is not registered. V'had Tanya, the Gemara says, okay, let's consider now another Braisa. And here we are now in the third area of Halacha that's going to now be important, critical to know whether this animal is considered a Chai or Behema, and that is the Manas Kahuna. Every time you shecht an animal, you have to give parts of the animal to a Kohen. This is not in relationship to a carbon. This is just a regular chulin animal that gets shechted. The zroa lechai v'keva, parts of the animal are going to be going to a kohen. You can decide which kohen it goes to. It's part of matnos kahuna. An entire perek is going to be dedicated to this topic later in the Masechta. All we need to know right now is just one basic point, and that is that this mitzvah of zroa lechai v'keva only applied to behema, not to chaya. Good. Now, the Braisa reads, has Rav Lachai Ve'akeva Noagim Bekoi V'Klayim. So according to the Tanakama, if you shech Koi or Klayim, now here, by the way, it's interesting, Koi is put right alongside Klayim, right? Up until now, we assume Koi is some version of Klayim. But anyway, if you have Koi or Klayim, one is going to be required to take Zor Lachai Ve'akeva of this animal and give it to a Kohen. And Rebbe Lazar Omer Klayim Abamina Ezim and Arachel Chai Be'Matanos. Mina Koi Patim and Matanos. Rebbe Lazar says that, if I have either the mother being a goat or a sheep, so then you have to give. However, if this is a koi, you do not have to give the matanos over to a kohen. Now the Gemara analyzes the braisa. B'maya skinan. We need obviously more details. What exactly is this animal that we're describing? Ilema b'taisha balat tzviya. If we're talking about where the mother, sorry, let's start with the father. The father is a behema, and the mother is a chaya, the alda. And it gave birth. So Bishlam al Rabbi Eliezer departed Kasev Sevafila mixed Selo Aminin. So now let's start with the position of Rabbi Eliezer. So the Gemara says like this. First of all, we can have Rabbi Eliezer taking the position of we don't accept the position Sevafila mixed Se. Let me put it in other terms. According to Rabbi Eliezer, in order to be obligated in the mitzvahs of Matnas Kahuna, it has to be 100% pure Behema. And over here, if it's not, so then there is no mitzvah of matnas kahuna. Over here, we're describing a scenario where the father is a behema, the mother is a chaya, and so we are, according to Rabbi Eliezer, we could say definitively that it's not an absolute behema. It may be partially behema, but it's not an absolute behema. That we could say definitively. And so therefore, there is no mitzvah of matnas kahuna. So El al Rabbanan, but if we now go over the side of the Chachamim, so the Gemara says, so according to the Chachamim, let's say that yes, there's a mitzvah Zor L'chai V'keva, even though this animal is not 100% behema, even though it's partial behema, so that would be fine. But the Gemara says, let's think this through. Bishlam Apaga Lo Yahiv Lei. So what do we have? We have a scenario in which the father is a behema. The mother is a chaya. Now, 50% of this animal, in the very least, is a chaya. So for 50% of the matanos, you could retain them for yourselves. You don't have to give it to a kohen. That part's clear. Now remember, according to the Chachamim, what about the other 50%? It may or may not be registered. Meaning, the father's input, according to the Chachamim, unclear. whether the father's input is significant or not significant halachically. So, on the mother's side of the matanos, clearly there's no requirement to give because the mother is a chaya, and there's no mitzvah of matanos on the chaya. On the father's side, the chachamim, if you remember, we said just a moment earlier, has a suffix in terms of whether the father's input is registered or not. And so now, what is this a question of? There's no kedusha in the Zor L'chai V'keva. It's just simply a monetary issue. Do I need to give this to the Kohen or not? What do we say by all monetary law? Hamotzi mechaver al avaraya. We don't know definitively that I'm required to give it to you, the Kohen. I'll set it aside. But after that point in time, is it yours? We don't know. Because again, on the mother's side, it's for sure not yours. So half of it for sure does not belong to you. On the other half, it's a suffix. And I'm not going to let go of possessions that belong to me and give them to you all based on a suffix. Edach, please wait. Edach paga le male, I see right, the choshen lezera avishkol. On the other half, you have to bring a raya. So Ella, so the Gemara says, okay, so we can't offer that scenario in terms of where the debate between Rabbi Elazar and the Chachamim lie. So we're going to go in the other direction. Ella b'tzvi abala tayasha. V'yalda. We're talking about where the deer and, the father is a chaya and the mother is a behema. Now the Gemara says, father's a chaya, mother's a behema. Let's think this through. Bishlam l'rabbanim chaya b'chatzim matanos. Now even though in the brisa we just learned, the Chachamim say you're obligated. Yes, obligation. Obligation comes in the form of half the matanos. Because the mother is a behema, and we know for sure that this animal is half a behema, in the very least. And so therefore, on that, you're going to give. But the other half, you're not going to give, because again, the chachamim are not sure about the other half. Hamotzi mechaver alav araya. Good. But Ella Rabbi Eliezer lechai b'kula matanos. But according to Rabbi Elazar, again, we think right now that according to Rabbi Eliezer, he has no suffix in his mind. Unequivocally, it's all mother and no father. So then shouldn't you be obligated to give all the matanos? So the olam b'tzvi abal tayasha. So the Gemara says, okay, we are not resetting, we're just resetting the point. But in terms of the case, we're at the same point. Father's a chai and the mother's a behema. And v'yalda. And Rabbi Elazar is at the same point where the chachamim are at, where they are also, or I should say better, he is also unclear whether the father is providing input or the father is not providing halachic input in terms of the creation of this child. The kevan, and so the Gemara says, wait 1 second. So now I'm a little bit confused. According to the Chachamim, where do they stand about the input of the father? Suffolk. According to Rabbi Eliezer, also suffolk. So if they're both holding my suffolk, what's the debate? The Gemara goes on to explain. So the came into the Rabbi Mesafkalu, the Rabbi Elazar Mesafkalu, but my pligi b'seh ve'afilu miksas seh. So the Gemara says, in terms of the input of the father, they're both holding at the same position, which is that it's a suffix. In terms of what they're debating, what they're debating is the following: does the obligation even begin? This is the question of seh ve'afilu miksas seh. Rabbanan Savri, as we are now on the top of Pei Amud Aleph, according to the Chachamim, seh ve'afilu miksas seh. According to the Chachamim, the obligation kicks in even if the offspring is not 100% pure set. Even though it's partial set, there is an obligation. And then the question of how much am I obligated, that's going to be contingent on the question of, do I take the father's input into account? Do I not take it into account? We're in a state of suffix. But the first question that you have to ask is there an obligation altogether? So according to the Chachamim, sev afilo mixas set. The Rabbi Eliezer suffers sev velo mixas set. And according to Rabbi Eliezer, seh v'lo miksas seh, that in order for the obligation to even get off the ground, the animal has to be 100% pure seh. If it's not, so then there simply is no obligation to begin with. And that is where the Gemara right now places a machlokus between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim. Okay. Correct. Right. In other words, the way to look at these two points of the Gemara is that Sev Afilu Miksas Seh is the question of whether there's an obligation altogether. After that, then you could talk about what kind of obligation there is using the question of Choshen L'Zera'av.
Yesterday's daf, when it came to a mule, we had three opinions. We had Rabbi Yehuda, Hanani, and Rabbanan. In that case, it was Rabbi Yehuda had a doubt.
Right.
And Chachamim said that the main question of Mizera up, right? So how come they're switching their position today and saying that they have doubt?
So Rashi says in yesterday's daf that sometimes the Chachamim are referred to as Rabbi Eliezer. In other words, when we see the word Chachamim or when we see Tanakama, we don't know who it is. It's not necessarily so that the Chachamim is the same every single time. Clearly in the context of our Gemara, I mean, that means that's more work for us to figure it out. But clearly in the context of the Gemara, when the Chachamim over here in this Braisa is saying the Chachamim or Tanakam in an honest position, and it's a suffix, so what we're doing is that we have to slide that over to Rabbi Yehuda. It's a great point. But it
makes more sense to be Rabbi Yehuda than the Chachamim, right? Because he was the one that had the suffix yesterday. Chachamim
Correct. Correct. So it's not always going to work the same, that this Chachamim and that Chachamim are one and the same. Okay. Amar Papa. And so now, if at this point in time now, you're a little bit confused in terms of what exactly is the parameters of, well, we know the parameters, but where exactly should we, what's the halachic conclusion regarding Sev Afilu Miksaseh, Tzviv Afilu Miksaseh, Choshin Lezera'av, Ein Choshin Lezera'av, Safek, Im Choshishin Lezera'av. So there obviously are a number of positions, so where do we stand on all this? And so the Gemara now is going to be giving us some concluding points on the entire discussion. Amar Rav Papa. We're on Peyamad Aleph, we're three lines down. Hilkach. Li'in Kisur Adam. Umatanus. In terms of the mitzvah of Kisur Adam, and in terms of the requirement of gift giving to the Kohen. Now remember, Kisur Adam is for a chaya, not a behema. The matanus is for a behema, not a chaya. But nevertheless, however, the results will go as follows. L'mishkachet ela b'tzviya balatayasha. So, if we have now the father being a chaya and the mother being a behema, bein l'rabban and bein l'rabbi Eliezer, misafka lahu, ichoshin l'zera'av alo. So, there is no debate in terms of whether or not we are concerned for the father's input or not, meaning both Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim are putting this in the category of safek. And so, does the father have input? Maybe. I know that's not a great answer to a question, but that's what safek means. Safek means maybe. So over here, then, if the father's input is a maybe, so then what are they arguing about? Now I know we just said this, but Rav Papa is giving a summary statement, and this got the first billing on the summary. The question over here is the following: whether or not sev afilu miksaseh, that in order for the obligation to even get off the ground, does there have to be 100% purebred, or can it be a cross? Can it be somewhat of a mutt? So, according to the Chachamim, the obligation is still going to be in play, even though it's not 100% purebred. So, even if it's 50%, and presumably even less, so there would be an obligation. Then, after that, then you could take into consideration whether we're choshen lezerav or not choshen lezerav. It really, quite frankly, it only really makes a difference in terms of matnas kahuna. Because of kisu adam, once the obligation kicks in, so then percentages don't really matter. Meaning, it's a little bit chaya, it's a lot chaya, it doesn't really matter. There's going to be a mitzvah of kisur adam. Masha enkei when it comes to matanas kahuna, so then the percentages are obviously going to be important because how much do I give to the kohen? Because I'm not going to give him the part of the matanas which are just in the category of safek, hamotz me chaver ala varaya. Good. Le'inyan osov esbeno, as it relates to the isur of osov esbeno, mishkach ala bein b'taysha bala tzviya, bein b'tzviya bala tayasha. It does not matter whether the father is a chaya, mother is a behema, or conversely, father's a behema, mother is a chaya. So, b'tai shaba ala tzviya u le'isura. Now, as far as the taish having made it with a tzviya, father is an animal, is a behema, mother is a chaya. So, under those circumstances, u le'isura. As far as the isur is concerned, Rabbanan Savra demachoshin lezera'av, sev afilu miksaseh amrina v'asar. So can I check the father and its offspring on the same day? And the answer is going to be no, because father is a behema, even though the mother is a chaya, and there is a possibility that there is a connection halachically between the father and its offspring, and so therefore no, you cannot check the father and its offspring on the same day. I'll get to that point in just a moment. Rabbi Eliezer Savrinihi Nami Dechoshin Lezera'av Sev Afilu Miksaseh Lo Amrina. Now, according to Rabbi Eliezer, there's no Isur Vosav Espino. Because even though there is a doubt in terms of whether or not the father's input is registered or not registered, but there's no Isur altogether. Because remember, Rabbi Eliezer says that in order for the Isser to kick in, there has to be 100% purebred, and we don't have that over here. So, B'tzviya Balatayasha, and let's now flip it around. Let's have the father being Echai and the mother being a Behema for the Isser of Osa Bespino. Ula Malkos. Now, the question becomes a question of, we know there's an Isser, it's now just a question of Malkos. According to the Chachamim, there is going to be Malkos. Again, Sev Afilu Mitzaseh tells us that there is an Isser, period. And then on top of that, furthermore, there's going to be Malkos because the case in question over here. Right. If you were to shech the mother and its offspring on the same day, you're certainly going to get Malkus. And Rabbi Elazar Savar, Isura Ika Malkus Leka. Now, as far as Rabbi Elazar is concerned, there's going to be an Isra, but there's not going to be Malkus. Isura Ika Doma In Choshen Lezera'av, Ahai Sem Al Yehi. So, in terms of is there going to be an Isra, well, let's take into consideration. The father is a Chaya, the mother is a Behema. The resulting offspring, is it, there's two possibilities. It's either 50-50, 50% Chaya, 50% Behema. The other possibility is it's 100% Behema. Because again, Rabbi Elazar says, are we Choshishin Lezera'av? Maybe yes, maybe no. On the side that it's 100% Behema, now, is there an Isser? Yes, there's going to be an Isser. Because now, it's not a partial Seh, it is a 100% bona fide set. So there's going to be an Isser. But also take into account that according to Rabbi Eliezer, the other possibility is that's 50-50. Well, if it's 50-50, it's not 100% set, which means that the Isser doesn't exist. So there is a suffix in terms of whether there is an Isser or there is no Isser. The only thing remaining on the table, Malkus Leka, is that there's not going to be Malkus. Dilma Choshen Lezera'av, V'sev Afilu Mitzaseh Lo Aminan. And if they and if there's no Isser, obviously there would then be no Malkus. Okay. And that has now taken us through the totality of the question of whether or not we say Sev Afilu Mitzaseh, whether or not we say Choshen Lezera'av or Ein Choshen Lezera'av. What it really comes down to is a machlokus amongst the Tanaim, and then a question of how to plug that machlokus in to the various subjects that we covered. We covered the mitzvah of Kisra Adam, which is exclusive to Chai, not to Behema. We cover the mitzvah of Matanos Matnas Kahuna, which is exclusive to Behema, not to Chaya. And then we also covered it regarding our Perek and the mitzvah in the Isser of Osa Vespino, which only applies to Behema, does not apply to Chaya. And then what happens is that if I have a cross between a Chaya and a Behema, so what's going to be regarding the resulting child vis-a-vis all these particular topics? So Rav Papa went through them all. And I went through it a little too quickly, to be honest. I went through it, and if you want to spend more time with it, Rashi also takes the time to go through this in much greater detail. That's the end of part A for today. It's going to be the right in terms of a nafkamina.
Right.
Well, because the answer is actually going to be very simple. Once it's in the category of suffix, so it's a suffix isura daraisa. So in other words, then you don't have these other variables that we're discussing. Sev afilu mitzaseh, meaning it's just a simple question of suffix. Yeah, Danny.
What exactly is the suffix that the person has to prove?
When I have an animal that is a product of a behemah and a chaya, and the father is a chaya. Those are the givens. And now those are the givens, and now when I take off the Matnas Kahuna to give to a Kohen, so the father's input, is it significant or not significant? And if it's a suffix, so I'll say to the Kohen, on the portion that's coming from the father, I'm not going to give it to you. It may or may not be significant, but we don't know. Good. That also falls under the category of Hamotz Mechaver Alav Araya. If the halacha is unsure whether I have to give this to you, I'm not giving it to you. Right. I'm Rav Yehuda. We are continuing on Pei Amud Aleph. We're halfway down on the Amud, a little bit less than halfway. I'm Rav Yehuda. Koy bere b'fnei atzma hi v'lo ichriya b'chachamim imin behema hi imin chaya hi. For a good part of the rest of this Amud, we talk about the status of a koy. Now a koy, what is it? So we don't know. That's a great summary statement for what a koy is. We don't know. But within the we don't know, So one possibility, which the Gemara is entertaining right now, is it's its own independent animal. It's a birya b'fnei atzma, it's its own breed. And its own breed, which according to Rav Yehuda, the Chachamim could not wrap their heads around, whether it falls under the category of a behemah, whether it falls under the category of a chaya. Now, as we just pointed out, basic nafkaminas between being a behemah and a chaya. Behemah, you cannot eat the fat of that animal, the chaylev of that animal. Chaya, you're allowed to. Behemah does not have a requirement of kisu adam. Chaya does have a requirement to kisu adam. Behemah, you have to give the matanas to the kohen. Zor l'chay v'keva. Chaya, you don't. So according to Rav Yehuda, a koi is a independent breed, which was undetermined in terms of whether or not it's a behemah or whether it's a chaya. Really interesting Rashi over here. Rashi goes on to write that according to Rav Yehuda, it is physically impossible to mate a behemah and a chaya together, which is why he rejects the above discussion of the Gemara. We've just spent yesterday and a good part of this morning going over whether or not the behemah, the father's a tayish, the mother is a tzviya, maybe it's the other way around. Rav Yehuda is entertaining none of that discussion because he's of the opinion that they cannot mate together. And it's one of those strange scenarios in the Gemara, the way Rashi's setting up. We're having a machlokas and mitzias. It's a little bit strange, but Rashi writes it very clearly. I'm reporting. Okay, let's continue the Gemara. So Rav Nachman Amar Koi Zeh Ayil Habar, and according to Rav Nachman, the koi is the wild ram. Kitanai, the Gemara points out, this is also amongst the Tanayim in terms of what exactly is the koi. The Braitsa here is going to give no less than four opinions. The Braitsa starts off Koi Zeh Ayil Habar. So Tanakama says it like Rav Nachman says it, although historically, of course, it's the opposite. Rav Nachman's an Amor. A second opinion is that it's in fact the product of the union of a goat and a deer. Rabbi Yossi Amar Koi Beri Bifnei Atzma Hivalo Yichriya B'Chachamim Im Min Chai Hi Im Min Behema. The third opinion of the Braisa Rabbi Yossi is in accordance with Rabbi Yehuda, and again historically flipped that around. He says that it is an independent creature, and it's unclear which category fits under. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Amar Min Behema Hi V'Shal Beis Dushai Hayu Megalim Mehem Adarin Adarim. Now Rabbi Shimon Gamliel also says that it is a birya b'fnei atzma, but he clearly puts under the category of behema, and the family of Beis Tushai would be raising such animals. Go there to see this kind of animal. Amar Rabbi Zera, Amar Rav Safra, Amar Rav Hamnuna, Hani Izi Dabale, Kashos Legabe, Eksheros Legabe Mizbeach. There are these forest goats. So Rabbi Zera wants to put it under the category of behema, and as such, you could bring it as a carbon. And by the way, we could say all the other nafkaminas as well, but right now, he just talks about it vis-a-vis being brought as a carbon. So, now, how is it that we're so comfortable putting the forest goat under the category of regular behemoth goats? Because consider, in Parshas Re'eh, the Torah says, here's a list of animals, and then the Torah gives a list. The Torah talks out three behemoths and seven different chayas. And now what the Gemara is proceeding to do is giving the following argument. So the Gemara right now is thinking that the list of chayos in the Torah is a comprehensive list. There are seven mentioned over there. Now, one of them that's not mentioned is the easy dabali, the forest goat. So it must be that we're looking at an animal with the simanim of being kosher. It doesn't identify as one of the seven chayos mentioned in Parshas Re'eh. Ah, it must be a behema. The Gemara maskev la Rav Acha bar Yaakov ema. Kol behema klal prat uklal nase klal mosif ala prat. Eni ketuva. So the first objection of the Gemara is, let's look at the structure of that pasuk. The pasuk gives a number of pratim, a number of examples, followed then by a klal. And can we not register the pasuk as a prat uklal? What is the rule behind prat uklal? The klal is there to be mosif. These are just but a sampling of animals. There are many others. So imken kolhani prat olamali. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you what. I do not accept the idea that the pasuk should register under the rule of prat uklal. Very interesting. The Gemara says, prat uklal, if the Torah is going to give me two, maybe even three examples, the numbers I'm making up. But if the Torah is going to give me two or maybe three examples, let's even go so far to say as four. Right? I'm generous today. So there I can see that as being prat uklal. But if the Torah is painstakingly taking us through 10 different animals, so I refuse to accept the idea that the pasuk should be falling under the category of prat uklal. And the Gemara then has other objections as well. You know, it's funny. You want to say that the forest goat doesn't identify with any of the chayos in the Torah. How do you know? Meaning the Torah gives 7 different chayos that it actually names. Maybe this wild goat falls under the category of akko, one of the 7. Amle Rav Acha Brei D'Rav L'Rav Ashi, V'Amle Rav Acha Brei D'Rav Avya L'Rav Ashi Dama Mina D'Ta'u. Ta'u, another one of the 7 chayos that are mentioned in the Torah. Omina D'Zemer Ninhu, another one of the 7. So basically, you are assuming way too much. You're assuming that these 7 is an exhaustive list, and you're assuming that this forest goat doesn't already subsume itself under any one of the animals actually listed in the Torah. Amle Rav Chanan L'Rav Ashi, Amei Meshari Tabayu. And you want to talk about a conversation ender. The Ameimar allows the eating of the fat of the forest goat, meaning Ameimar clearly held it was a chaya, not a behema. Conversation came to an end real quickly. We are going to basically have a similar Gemara with basically the same format of discussion, and it's going to end, by the way, the same way. Spoiler alert. So but over here, the way the conversation goes over here, he didn't say it as a statement. He merely addressed it as a question. Amalei adkan lo pligi Rabbi Yosef Rabbanan la b'shor habar did not shor habar min behema hu Rabbi Yosef Amin min chaya. So over here, the Gemara quotes the Braisa, and in the Braisa, we're describing the shor habar. And shor habar is either behema or chaya, to machlok is amongst the Tanaim. Rabbanan tzavri mid de mitar gamina and turbala mina de behema hu. If you look in Chumash, and you look under Onklus, so you will see that the shor is described in Unklus as the turbala, the wild ox. And Unklus over here is not just giving us definitions, he's giving us halachic definitions. It's the behema. Rav Yosef Safra Midika Chashav Leba Adachayos Mina Adachayuhu. On the other hand, if you look where it's placed in Chumash and Parshas Re'eh, you will see that it's listed amongst the chayos. It'd be a little bit strange where the Torah now starts rattling off one chay after another, 7 altogether, and then you're telling me that this animal is a behema? That's very strange. Each, by the way, have a fantastic point. But anyway, Avalhani, good. That's good. That's a debate regarding a wild ox, and it's a debate. But we're talking about the wild goat. Divrei HaKol Mina De'ezinu. It for sure falls under the category of a goat, and it's for sure a behema. And the Gemara says, I'm not so sure. Maskevla Rav Acha Brei D'Ravika V'Dama Mina Da'ako Ninu. Amli Ravina Rav Ashi V'Dama Mina De'tau Omina De'zemer Ninu. And again, the questions over here, same questions that we saw just a couple lines earlier. It could be that this wild goat is subsumed under one of the 7 wild animals listed in the Torah. Amalei Rav Nachman Rav Ashi Amei Meshari Tabayu. And again, the conversation comes to a very abrupt end as Ameimar offers a ruling that one is allowed to eat the fat of the wild, of the forest goat, because he is of the opinion that it's a chaya, not a behema.
He was so certain that he could.
Yeah.
Hmm? He was so certain that he.
Yeah. Ketzer HaShochet, and we are now on the bottom of Pei Amud Aleph. After having discussed now in some detail the status of a koi and of other animals that are questionably identified as either behema or as a chaya, the Gemara now returns back to our Mishnah, and the Gemara is going to make a large point regarding our Mishnah. The Mishnah that we did 2 days ago, the opening Mishnah of the 5th Perek gave us 12 different scenarios in which one would be in violation of Osov Espino. Now, many different times in the Mishnah, we could have made this point. In fact, the Gemara is going to say it even stronger. Every scenario in the Mishnah, we could have made this point. We didn't make the point. We're going to make it right now. There is a Tana by the name of Rabbi Shimon. Now, Rabbi Shimon's of the opinion that Shechita She'en Aruya Ein Shechita. If Shechita does not result in consumption, that does not have the status of Shechita. For whatever reason, and we're going to give various reasons why it's not consumable. But if Shechita is a Shechita She'ena Ru'uya, according to Rabbi Shimon, that's not Shechita, that does not qualify Shechita. That means that according to Rabbi Shimon, if the Shechita is a Shechita She'ena Ru'uya, so that means there would be no Isser to Shecht its offspring on the same day. because you didn't shecht the mother.
The animal's an avela.
So I held back in terms of giving examples of what it means that it's a shechita sheina ruya, and as you will see in the course of the discussion, we're going to give parameters to Rabbi Shimon exactly what it means when it says the shechita sheina ruya. Okay. So let's see a number of examples. I'll tell you what, let's start off with a simple example, which clearly highlights the difference between Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim. Let's say the animal's a treifa, and you shech the animal. Shechita was perfectly legitimate shechita. It was good shechita. Now it happens to be, you can't eat the animal because the animal's a treifa. So according to the Chachamim, that was a shechita. And so you cannot shech the offspring on the same day. According to Rabbi Shimon, that was not a shechita. Because any shechita that does not result in consumption is not a shechita. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Everyone says that shechita is a matir. It's now just a question of does it define as shechita.
In a case where the animal is a treifa, it's not a matir.
It certainly prevents the animal from being an avela.
Right.
Amrav Oshia kula masisim delo Rabbi Shimon mimai. So the Gemara says our entire Mishnah. In other words, the Gemara makes the point really strong. Our entire Mishnah from beginning to end is not following like the Shita of Rabbi Shimon. Me mine. Me dikatani. Now, what we could have done now is we could have been really exhaustive and exhausted by having to go through all 12 scenarios of the Mishnah and see how Rabbi Shimon cannot plug in to any one of the 12 scenarios. The Gemara decided to give us a little bit of a break and only go through three of the cases of the Mishnah. Why these particular three cases? Why not the other nine other cases of the Mishnah? It's a wonderful question, but we're going to make the point just by citing three cases in the Mishnah. Kachim b'chutz. Let's say you take two animals, mother offspring. They're both karbanos. I shechtem outside of the azara. Harishon chayiv kares. Now the first one you're going to be is subject to the kares penalty for shchutei chutz. Ushneim psulim, and they're both going to be disqualified. Ushneim sofkim mesarabim. You're going to get malchus for both. The first animal you're getting malchus for because you violated the iser Torah of shchutei chutz. The second animal you're going to get malchus for the iser of osa vespino. Now the Gemara says, good, that's the Mishnah. Now let's see if Rabbi Shimon can plug into the Mishnah. Spoiler alert, he's not going to plug into the Mishnah, which is exactly the point. Michti. Shamila the Rabbi Shimon da Mashchita Sheinarui lo Shema Shchita. According to Rabbi Shimon, a Shchita Sheinarui is not considered a Shchita. So now let's consider as we turn to the Amud base. Kama Mikdal Katle. The first animal, what did you do to the first animal? Now you want to tell me you shechted that animal. I'll say to you, you killed the animal. Good. You didn't shecht it. Look at the top Rashi on the Amud, on Pe'amud Beis. Kama Mikdal Katle. Again, this is how Rabbi Shimon views the shechting of that first animal. Rashi on the top writes, the shechita is kachim b'chut shechita she'neru yehi. Shechting a karban is shechita is kachim b'chut outside is a shechita she'ena ru'uya. Nehi delin shechuta chutz lihizchayiv kareis havya shechita digzeres akasavhi. Now, here's where it gets a little bit tricky. According to Rabbi Shimon, you violate the Isra of Shchut Echutz. You're going to get kares if you do it deliberately for shechting it outside. So as far as the Isra of Shchut Echutz is concerned, you're in full violation. But vis-a-vis all other halachas of shechita, it doesn't register as a shechita. I know that part, that point's a little bit nuanced, but that's how we're going to have to learn it. Aval l'chol mili, Rashi says it beferish. Aval l'chol mili lav shechitehi. And now it comes out that according to Rabbi Shimon, a really unbelievable conclusion. When you shech the offspring now, it's a carbon, you shech it outside, so you're going to be chayiv kares now, not once, but twice. Now I understand for kares, you can't be liable two times for kares. Right? How many times can you get kares? Which I guess is, in general, a wonderful question to analyze. But certainly the point is being made. Since Rabbi Shimon does not view the shechting of the first animal as shechita per se shechita, it's shechita legabe the iser shechutei chutz, but it's not shechita per se shechita. So that means that when you're shechting the offspring on the same day outside the base of Mikdash, then the offspring is a karban. So then you are now in violation of shechutei chutz for that second animal as well. It is not mechusar zman. It's not subject to the iser osav espeno. It is eligible to be brought into the azara that day. And so therefore you'd be violation shechutei chutz. Good. That's case number one where clearly it's not going like Rabbi Shimon. Let's do this two more times. Chulin bifnim. Let's go to another case of the Mishnah. Second line down on the Amud. Shnei Psulim, Vashini Sofek Gezar Bayim. So in the Mishnah, we had a scenario in which it was there were both non-karbonis that were shechted inside of the Azara. So they're both going to be disqualified because that's Chulin Shenish Ketubah Azara. And for the second animal, you're going to be subject to the Malkus of Osav Espino. Now again, let's do the same thing a second time. Plug in Rabbi Shimon. How is Rabbi Shimon going to plug in? And that's exactly the point. He can't. Michti. Shamin le Rabbi Shimon da'amar shchita shein rui lo shmei shchita, so kama mikto katle. The first animal, according to Rabbi Shimon, you can't consume it. It's chulin shenishchitu ba'azara, so that's not shchita. And if that's not shchita, so you know what the second animal is there for? It's not subject to the iser vosav as beno. Sheini amai sofeg is arbaim. Now the second animal was chulin and you shecht in the azara, so it's certainly subject to chulin shenishchitu ba'azara, but you're not going to get malchus for that second animal because the first animal was not shechted, according to Rabbi Shimon. It's a shechita shein aruya. Let's do it now a third time. Third round. Kachim bifnim. You shecht karbanos in the azara. Harishon kasher patav hasheni sofeg is arbaim apostle. So michti shamin le Rabbi Shimon damar shechita shein aruya lo shmei shechita. Now shechitas kachim nami shechita shein aruya hi. Now here's going to come a little bit of a twist, and perhaps this is why the Gemara specifically looks at these three cases of the Mishnah, because here we go with a little bit of a curveball. Okay, but we're gonna hit the curveball. It's really hard, but we're gonna do it. So they were both karbanos that were shechted in the azara. Now in our Mishnah, first animal you get a check, and the second animal is going to be subject to the iser vosav espino. That's what we learned in our Mishnah. Now let's put on our Rabbi Shimon glasses. According to Rabbi Shimon, is the first animal shechita? Now this is, again, this is a curveball. The first animal is not a shechita. Why? Okay. So, because when you shecht the karban, you can't eat it yet. You can't eat it yet. There's more that needs to happen in order to eat it. According to Rabbi Shimon, shechita is only shechita when it immediately results in consumption. And by a karban, because it doesn't immediately result in consumption, it's not a shechita according to Rabbi Shimon.
So none of the korban there are shechita.
Correct. Correct.
So if you shecht on Shabbos, you wouldn't be
chayav. I'm not sure how far I would take it. Okay. Tosfos over here asks a wonderful question. Tosfos, the third Tosfos on the Amud, Dibar Amaschal Dekametel Azarik Dalam is Kasher Basar. So I know I didn't read that line of Gemara yet. So Tosfos says, second line of Tosfos, Afagav de Rabbi Shimon kol ha'omid lizro kazorik dami. So interesting. You know, the same Rabbi Shimon also has this principle of kol ha'omid lizro kazorik dami. When something stands to be sprinkled, i.e. the blood of a karban, we view it as if it's already sprinkled. So right, it's wonderful. It's such a good question. So now that means that according to Rabbi Shimon, let's put his two shechitas together. A shechita shein aruya is not considered a shechita because it has to be immediately consumable. But the moment you shecht it now, the blood stands to be sprinkled, and we view the blood as already being sprinkled, and so why don't we say that it's immediately consumable when you take the two principles of Rabbi Shimon and you put them together? So wait, hold on a second. Tosfos is going to give an answer. So Tosfos answers. Actually, Tosfos gives a couple of answers. The first answer of Tosfos, it's one I thought of. I give myself some credit, but that's it. So Tosfos says, Hainu dafka la'achar shinis kabel b'kos kedam reper kama de psachim. Even when Rabbi Shimon uses the principle of kol ha'omed, that's only after it enters into the cup. Meaning, if we were to freeze frame the moment of shechita by itself, can I eat the animal now? And the answer is, even according to Rabbi Shimon, not yet. You first need the blood to go into the cup, and now he's prepared to say, kol ha'omed lizro kezarek dami. That's one way Tosfos resolves the question. Tosfos has another way to resolve it. See Tosfos inside. I really love the question. It's like, so it's really putting together a bunch of Gemaras. Anyway.
So if one of the four avodot is shechita, what does Rabbi Shimon call the first avodot?
He calls it shechita. I know. I called it a it's really a curveball.
But is that a shechita according to them?
Right. There's a lot to think about. There's really a lot to think about.
Shechita for a chai, we have to do
right. Right. I know. How far are we going to go? I tell you what. I forgot. I don't know who to give credit to. You know, every time you shecht an animal, you can't eat the blood, you can't eat the meat right away. You got to salt the meat. Is Rabbi Shimon going to tell you that that delay now is going to remove the shechita status? Like, I know the answer is no. I know it. So how far are we going with this idea? So I'll tell you what. I'll say what I'm comfortable saying, and that is what the Gemara is saying. The Gemara is saying that when it comes to a karban, Rabbi Shimon does not view that as a shechita because it's not immediately consumable. Let's say that because the Gemara says it, and that's as far as we can go, as far as I can comfortably go. So, shechita sheina ruyah lo shma shechita, shechita kachim nami shechita sheina ruyah hi. Dekamet lo zarek dam la mishtere basar. So now, if the first animal is not does not qualify as a shechita, so then sheina myself ikazar baim, upasal. So that second carbon now that you shecht in the azara is not a violation of osav es beno. In fact, it's not even disqualified. It's fine. So elo shma mina de lo karebi shimon. Our mission is not going like Rabbi Shimon. Let's just quickly run through the next couple lines of Gemara. Pshita dahachi isa shchitas kachim itzrich. I'm sorry, pshita dahachi isa. So the Gemara says now every point that we just made, that our Mishnah is not going like Rabbi Shimon. Now we did three lines of Mishnah, three cases of Mishnah. So in case number one, case number two, the Gemara says, look, it was really good, but we could have all figured it out. Meaning we know Rabbi Shimon's rule, and it's just a question of plugging Rabbi Shimon into the Mishnah, and you see clearly it doesn't compute. So the Gemara says, Isa Shchitas Kachim, sorry, Dahachi Isa, Shchitas Kachim, it's the Rechle, Saka Dachamin, Shchitas Kachim, Shchita Ruyi, Dahai Inacher, Vizarik Dam, Lamishtare Basar, Vichi Shakim, Mishtare Basar, Ushchita Ruyi, Kamash Malan. So the Gemara says, obviously, the Chiddush is that third case that we just went through. Because if we didn't have a Gemara, and I asked you the question, according to Rabbi Shimon, when you shecht the carbon, is that shechita? I know I would have said yes. I'll speak on behalf of myself. I for sure would have said yes. And the Gemara complements my point with an argument. Let me ask you a question. By a carbon, instead of doing shechita, let's say you lop the head off from the back. Let's say you just stick a knife right into its head. So is that going to be a good carbon? Obviously the answer is no. Meaning shechita is the prerequisite in order to go forward in the avodah. So I would have said that shechita, according to Rabbi Shimon, shechita of a carbon is a shechita. So obviously the chiddush that we just introduced, I mean, we all realize it, but the Gemara is spelling it out. The chiddush we just realized over here is that according to Rabbi Shimon, the shechita of a carbon is not a shechita. That's a really great way to end the daf. The shechita of a carbon is not a shechita, vis-a-vis the isser of osav es beno. Obviously, it's a shechita vis-a-vis the karban, but vis-a-vis the isser of osav es beno, it's not. Because again, for Rabbi Shimon, for a shechita to be a shechita, you have to have immediate consumption post-shechita in order to be qualified as a shechita.